Darnell, that was lovely. Happy Sabbath. It is great to see you all on this Sabbath day. Aren't you glad to be in church? I mean, this is the best place to be. And you can say amen. I'm excited about what God is doing. How he is calling his children. He's preparing a people. And before I forget, week of prayer is starting on October 1st at 7 p.m. This is where we're going to get to come together from all parts of Roseburg. Even from Winston, even from Sutherland, even Willis Creek Road, we come together and we seek the Lord. And we not just come ourselves, but we come with our friends. Because time is of the essence. This is a holy time that we're setting aside for the Lord. And so make plans for that. As we get into this morning's message, let us bow our heads. Loving Father, you who loved us so much that you gave us your only Son, have called us into your holy presence on this day because you miss us and love us and desire us to be with you. Thank you. We ask, O God, that you'll help us to hear these wonderful words of life, words from your throne, words from your word of truth, and may your Spirit impress them on our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we can't wait to exhale. Because 2 weeks ago, I was at this same place, and maybe you were right there too, and I was talking about all the different things that have been going on natural disaster Lee-wise. And now it's 2 weeks later, and what did we just go through? We went through another hurricane. We went through an earthquake. And those are just some of the things that we hear of. Which means there's tons of other things that you and I don't hear of, but they are happening. It's just that sometimes media slights things a certain way. But we think this world is going to just keep on going as always. We have our calendars. Yeah, we're going to be here next week, we're thinking. Next month. Next year. In fact, I think it was Richard Branson who was interviewed. He had purchased his own island that got flattened. And he was saying of the different things that need to be done energy-wise because he's planning to be here for a very, very, very long time. I am not of that thinking. I don't plan to be here a very long time. I plan to be up there 1,000 years. And then we can come back. Amen? Because, you know, after all, didn't Jesus say, no one knows the day nor the hour? Jesus did say that. And with that comes a little temptation. A temptation that I wish it was just I who faced it. That it was just I who dealt with it. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes? Does somebody know the day and the hour? The Bible says, Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So when these people come to us and say, oh, on such and such a date, Jesus is coming back, we know that's a wrong answer. Because we have been given a sure word of prophecy. That it's like a light shining in what kind of place? A dark place. Until what day comes? The day dawns. So could it actually be party time right now? Because nobody knows the day or the hour. We can have a good time. Nobody knows. But the Father. Have you ever thought that? Nobody knows when he's coming. And you know, we're kind of like good Adventists. And we kind of have our time charts of when certain things are supposed to come to fruition. And until those certain things start happening, we get a bit cozy. We get comfortable. We get complacent. God's people always know what will happen when? Before it happens. That's what I love about following God and walking with God. We know what's going to happen before it actually happens. Turn with me to John 14, 29. This one won't be on the screens. John 14, 29. The Bible says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, the Master Prophet, he said, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might what? Believe. Could something be going on with our belief? With our faith in what God has said? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 7. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Interesting. Here Paul writes about that if there's a time and season that we need to be mindful of, it's what day? The day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back. And that's very important because we could get sidetracked with certain times and seasons that have been fulfilled. Paul says, no. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, that's a popular gospel of the day, then what kind of destruction comes? Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of what? Light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. It's not sleepy time, as do others. But let us watch and be sober, and as the hymn says, be ready. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. God's people know what happens before it happens. Why? Because they have light that God has given them in his word. So how are we not in the dark regarding Jesus' second coming? We have his word, but guess what? Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does what? Nada. Unless he reveals his what? Secret to his servants, the prophets. If Jesus, the master prophet, reveal things that were to come so that we might believe, we too have been given prophets that tell us the things to come so that when they do come to fruition, we too may believe. Will we know when Jesus is coming back? Yes, we will know. How about, let's take a look at this. In the time of trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, but were pursued by the wicked, who entered the houses of the saints with the sword. They raised the sword to kill us, but it broke and fell as perilous as a straw. Then we all cried day and night for deliverance, and the cry came up before God. The sun came up and the moon stood still. The streams ceased to flow. Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other. But there was one clear place of settled glory, whence came the voice of God like many waters, which shook the heavens and the earth. The sky opened and shut and was in commotion. The mountains shook like a reed in the wind and cast out ragged rocks all around. The sea boiled like a pot and cast out stones upon the land. Now get this. And as God spoke the day and the hour of Jesus' coming and delivered the everlasting covenant to his people, he spoke one sentence and then paused while the words were rolling through the earth. Early Writings, page 34. Does any human being know the day or the hour? Nope. Will the Father say the day and the hour? Yes, he will. I remember the first time I heard that, I thought that was blasphemous. I didn't like it. I went to Matthew 24 and said, but here it says, only the Father knows. But you see, this is how the spirit of prophecy is in the same direction of Scripture. It does not contradict. To the law and to the what? To the testimony, Isaiah 8, verse 20. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know, speaking about that, Revelation 12, verse 17, this is like one of the key verses for us strange Adventists because we are a little strange. Praise the Lord. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the what? Commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, the devil is not after everybody. You see, he doesn't have to worry about those who are disobedient. Why? Because they're already not walking with God. But for the person who is trying to walk with God and be faithful to him, oh, it's an all-out attack on that person. That's the reason why he is after commandment keepers, but also this testimony of Jesus. Other versions call it the faith of Jesus. We jump over to Revelation 19, verse 10, and the Bible says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the what? The spirit of prophecy. So, chapter 12, verse 17, and 19, verse 10, talk to us about what the testimony of Jesus is. When the angel shared this with John, John wanted to bow down and worship the angel. And the angel said, would you get up? I'm a brethren just like you. What kind of brethren? Was it just we brothers? No. It was of your brethren, of the servants, the prophets. Because Revelation 1:1 tells us that God gave this revelation to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John. And guess who received it then? We did. And so John is wanting to worship the angel. And the angel says, no, you worship God. And then the angel helps John to understand that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If there ever was a time to walk according to the law and to the testimony, It is now. Do we know when? We do not know the day nor the hour. That is very clear. Will we know when? Yes, we will know when. Matthew 24, 44 says, therefore you also be what? Who is that you? That you is you? You, and me included. That's who the you is. Because sometimes we think, oh, that you is somebody else. No, that you is you. That you is me. Therefore, you also be comfy. You also be sleepy. You also be doubting. No. You also be ready, the Bible says. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not what? Interesting. When do you expect Jesus to come back? That's a very critical question. Because we have our own ideas of when we're expecting Jesus to come back. But yet Jesus said, when you think or expect him not to come back, the Bible says he's coming back. Like Jesus breaking out the smelling salts. When you think it's not going to happen, it's happening. Matthew 24, 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household? To give food in due season. There's nothing like food in due season. Hallelujah. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so. You know, this verse kind of reminds me of a story in the Bible. We know it well. Once upon a time, true story. There was a man who had 12 sons. And he kind of favored one over the rest of them. And made them a very nice coat of many colors. That didn't sit too well with his brothers. In fact, they were licking their chops to take him down. A little bit of time goes by, and now the guy with the fancy coat, he now receives dreams. Dreams in which now these sheaves are bowing down to this guy who, like, is favored by dad. And so the brothers, they're in cahoots. And they come together and they say, well, you dreamer, come over here. We got a dream for you. Dream this. And he's thrown into a pit. His coat is removed from him. They share lies about their brother's well-being. Poor Jacob, he mourns the rest of his life until he finds out the truth. And there Joseph is. He's sold as a slave. He ends up in Egypt. And he's in Egypt for what purpose? Oh, that's right. He's there to save a whole nation during the time of famine. Interesting. And it's his own brothers that even come looking for food. The dreamer did not forget his vision. Have we forgotten the vision? Have we forgotten the dream? You see, we have been given a sure word of what? Of prophecy. And it's not flickering. It's bright. I see all the things that are happening, and it's burning ever brighter. You see, Amos chapter 8, verse 11, I'm not going to put it on the screen. The Bible tells us of what kind of situation we find ourselves in today, in which God calls us to be a faithful servant. The Bible says, Amos 8, verse 11, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine just like in the days of Joseph in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's the famine. A famine of hearing the word of God. Aren't you glad that we can have the word of God in our hands? There's places in this world today where someone could get killed for this. And yet we could be tempted to treat this book as if it weren't a privilege to have it. What a blessing, the word of God. What food do we have for them? Because there is a famine for the word of God. What is the food that we have for those who are hungry? Oh, Matthew 24, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world as a testimony. And then what shall happen? The end shall come. That was Jesus' way to start mapping out what we have come to know as the three angels' messages. Matthew 24 is loaded with the three angels' messages. You think that's just in Revelation chapter 14. Right before our worship service started, I was flipping through my Bible that I had when I was 11 years old. Still with me. And I was trying to see what I had underlined. It was very eye-opening for me to find that Revelation 14, verses 6 to 12 was underlined in my Bible. And then, for some reason, that Bible just opened with a big crease in Daniel 11. Very interesting. 11-year-olds? They must have taught me something good. And what's interesting about the three angels' messages is that we think it's limited to Revelation 14. How so? Look at this. In chapter 14, verse 6, it talks about the everlasting gospel. Do we hear about that elsewhere in the scriptures? Oh, yes, we do. That's John 3:16. We can even go back to Genesis chapter 3 and find the everlasting gospel there. Because that's really where it starts. And then we go to verse 7. It says, fear God and give him glory. Well, we also find that in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3. We read of the judgment has come. And that's Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. We also read about worshiping God, the Creator, on the Sabbath, and that's Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. We read about how Babylon is fallen and causing all the nations to drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Oh, that's Daniel chapter 3. We also read about how the third angel's message talks about not worshiping the beast nor its image. Well, that's Revelation 13. You tell me. All that's here is found in here. Meaning, it's found in all of the Bible. What does that mean? Our issue isn't with the three angels' messages. Our issue is actually with our faith in the Word of God. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Isn't that where we found Joseph? He was second in command of Egypt, ruler of all Pharaoh's goods. Scripture says, he who is faithful in least, I will make him faithful in much. Then verse 48 and 49, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying, he's stuck in traffic, he took a wrong turn in his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. You see, when I start thinking that Jesus is not coming back soon, and notice how Jesus says where this happens. He says it happens in the heart. If that servant says in his heart that my master delays his coming, there's two results. Number one, the first result is he starts beating his fellow servants. That's what Jesus said. And it's the exact same thing that Cain did to Abel. You see, why did Abel get killed? Oh, that's right. Because Cain didn't like the way that Abel worshiped God. Is worship going to be an issue before Jesus comes back? So if I say in my heart that Jesus isn't coming soon, I start beating those who are saying he's coming soon. Not just that, but they also eat and drink with drunks. You know what's interesting about us Adventists? If we, for some reason, were to stray from the Lord, the grand majority, there's always exceptions, we don't join other churches. In fact, we don't do any of that stuff, but actually we sometimes could even party harder than anybody else. And that happens because if we were to go to another church, we already know it's a whole bunch of lies. So why go? And since I'm not going to be going to church because I know that stuff is lies, I might as well just live it up. Is Jesus coming soon? Testimonies to Ministers, page 78. The Lord has a controversy with all men who by their unbelief and doubt have been saying that he delays his coming and who have been smiting their fellow servants and eating and drinking, working from the very same principle as the drunken. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Satan has controlled their reason, and they know not at what they stumble. Huh. What reasoning has led men to stumble? The reasoning that has led men to stumble is the idea that Jesus is not coming soon. I start thinking he's not coming soon. That affects how I live. We tell ourselves, that would never be me, Pastor. I'm not putting off his coming. I know he's coming soon. I'll give my life completely to Jesus when I see it's getting close. We're not that close yet. I mean, it's getting warmer. Or how about, I'll believe as Jesus calls me to believe in him when X, Y, and Z happens. And those things haven't happened yet, so I'm okay. It's amazing what you can do with Google Maps these days. That probably doesn't seem like much to you. It does to me. My father pastored for a number of years in Venezuela before immigrating to the U.S. He came wanting to get his master's in divinity, wasn't able to, and there wasn't a call for him. He did a couple jobs, painting was one of them. I've shared about that previously. But another job, which took us to White Plains, New York, just outside of New York City, took us to this place. And I was 4 years old when we lived here. I couldn't get a full frontal picture of it. This is known as part of the Strauss estate. What Strauss is that? That would be Isidore and Ida Strauss. Who were they? For our ladies who like doing shopping of nice clothing, you appreciate the Strauss name because they were Isidore and Mr. Macy started Macy's. And so Isidore and Ida Strauss, they were in Europe and wanted to come back home. And so they took a boat ride. And if you're a Titanic fan, it was this couple. They were a little older in life. They were in first class cabin C-55, to be exact. Ida had been secured in a lifeboat. There was even room for Isidore. And he was going to be given that privilege because of who he was. But he stopped and said, "I shall not be granted a privilege that other men do not have." And so he passed his opportunity to be saved from the sinking ship. Because of that, Ida said, "You know what? You've been with me so long. I will die with you." She gets off the lifeboat, and they go hand in hand and probably died embraced. That was April 14th, 1912. At around 11:40 or so at night, is seen something big and something white. You want to know how much time went by from when the iceberg was first seen to when the iceberg was hit? 37 seconds. 37 seconds for this big boat to try to turn and avoid the iceberg. Just couldn't do it that fast. It's just too big. There's not enough time to make that big of a turn. It was interesting. At that residence in White Plains, New York, my mom worked as the cook and cleaner. My father worked as the maintenance man. And my sister and I were the entertainment to the kids there. And I had not really stopped to think about where those kids would be today. You want to take a guess how many years it's been since I thought about finding this information out? 37 years. Is an iceberg coming? Would you prefer to have 37 seconds or 37 years to make that turn? You see, we think when we see these things happening, "Oh, I know I'm going to get my life in order." No. It'll be like those 37 seconds. Where it will be too late to get a character that looks like Jesus. I so appreciated the special music a few moments ago. You want to know what causes this ship, Tony Rodriguez, to start turning towards the Savior? Oh, that's the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. It's the goodness of God that leads me and turns me towards repentance so that I am ready for the Savior. 37 seconds is not enough. But I tell you what we do have. We have today. It's not until we believe in Jesus and his word that we believe the prophecy. Jesus is coming back soon. Believing God, believing the Bible, believing the prophets and prophecy leads us to action, church. And it's time that we have more action, because the lack of the action has everything to do with our lack of belief and faith. This week, you may have seen something like this. There is different communication that was done with hand signals in Mexico City where the earthquake hit this past week. This one meant quiet. Why did they want silence? To hear anyone who was trapped. That struck me. I wonder if there's too much noise in my life in which I can't hear those who are trapped under the rubble. People say, well, Pastor, where do I find somebody to tell them about Jesus? They're all around us. This past Sunday, we carpooled a group of us delegates to our constituency meeting. We left my place at about 5:40 a.m. Right around Springfield, I was informed that it would be a great idea if we had a potty break. And so we pull over to the side. I remind those who are riding with me that, as Jesus said, what you're going to do, do it quickly. I didn't have to go to the bathroom that bad myself, but I said, you know what? Who knows if there's traffic up near Portland where the meeting was? And so I'll go into McDonald's too, where we had stopped to use the restroom. And so I'm making my way, and mid-stride, literally, mid-stride, there was a homeless man in the benches outside of McDonald's that said, I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. I was dressed in Sabbath attire, even though it was a Sunday morning, because if there was going to be some nice fancy schmancy pictures taken that they needed for their directory. And so, you know, Jesus met people where they were at. And most homeless people don't tell others, I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. And so I approached this homeless man, and he said, you know, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away, and that Jesus is coming soon. And I said, well, brother, let me tell you something. The Bible says that before Jesus comes back, there will be a union of church and state. Do I tell every person that at every meeting? No, that was this given situation in this time, because that's what he was needing to hear. I then proceeded to pray with him. I heard him. And I've come to realize I need to do more hearing. Because there's tons of people just like this man who are needing to hear of Jesus' love, who are needing to hear about how this same Jesus that ascended up to heaven will come so back in like manner. Isn't that what the angels told to the disciples? This same Jesus is coming back and coming back soon. I believe God is challenging me to believe his word more. I believe that God wants me to not say Jesus is coming later, but actually to believe and to prepare for Jesus' arrival as if it were. Help me today. Because my Lord is not delaying his coming. He's coming. He's coming. I'd like to share with you a song. And this song is going to challenge you. To challenge you to make a decision. It is time we stop thinking he's not coming back. It's time we be ready now. If in hearing this song, you'd like to say, Lord, you're talking to me. I choose to be ready today. I choose to allow his spirit to change me. As you hear this song, I will invite you to join me right here. Let's take a listen.
I thought about that every day this last week, that Jesus is coming soon. What is the biggest thing that determines what you're going to do in your life? And the first thing I thought is Jesus is coming soon. How does the choice I make fit into the fact that Christ is soon to come?
I see the signs around me in the world today. I feel a sense of urgency. This is not the time to play. Yet I put off till tomorrow the work that should be and the clock keeps ticking steadily as God's children go astray. Do you hear him calling out to you as your busy day to day? Do you hear him say, I miss you, spend some time with me and pray? You're not wrestling with flesh and blood, you need wisdom from above to carry out the great commission to share of my love. Children, won't you heed the final call? The harvest is ripe and the Savior bids us all. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and proclaim to one and all. Christ is coming back, get ready, choose the narrow.
So you can be a part of the last movements of verses.
I, the Lord, have called you forth in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I, the Lord, have called you forth in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. To from the prison house, to open the call is yours. Choose your destiny today. If you refuse, the rocks will cry out straight. The path, prepare the way. Children, won't you heed the final call? The harvest is ripe and the Savior bids us all. He said, seek ye first the kingdom and proclaim to one another.
As we leave this place, you will be given the opportunity to get someone out of the rubble. You'll find elders with invitations to our week of prayer. Get them out. Get them out. They're crying for help. Now is our time. Father, you have seen our decisions. We've made our minds up. As the Father once prayed about his Son, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help us to stop thinking you're not coming. You are coming. And Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We don't want the 37 seconds. You've given us today. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And today you are our choice. Father, we ask that you'll help us to believe more in your word. We ask that you'll help us to believe in your sure word of prophecy and your prophets. We ask that you'll move us by faith to lead others from the darkness into your marvelous light. And we ask that that may happen now. Move your church, O Father, for Roseburg will be seeing the light of Jesus Christ. May we all be found ready. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you.